greet each one this morning in Jesus' precious name. Lord's Day, a glorious day. Well, I suppose that there are some of you in here that this is just normal. There are some of you in here that wonder what the next 3 weeks hold. 30 years ago, I was in that same shape. I entered the doors of Messiah Bible School. I knew one other person. I remember that very well. So if you are here this morning like that, I can say that I feel with you. My prayer is that the next several weeks can be a blessing for yous, but also for me also. This morning I would like to think of the thought of choices. Choices is something that we do every day. While you lay in bed in the morning and you hear that chiming thing there on your headboard, what is the first thing that goes through your mind? Do you mutter and say, oh, another day? Or when that thing rings off, do you think of another opportunity? Life is still here. Today, I have that power of choice. You have the power of choice to thank your mother for the breakfast. Or you have the power of choice to tell her the toast was burnt. It's all there. It's all a perspective of mind. We have that choice this morning. If you live in the North Country and after a long cold winter and it's about 40 degrees for 2 days, you have several choices when you leave the house in the morning. You can wear a soft-soled shoe that sticks, that has grip. Or you can put them little things on the bottom of your shoes so that you don't slip on the ice. Or you can go out of the house and wear your Sunday slicks. You can make that choice. But many times the choices that we make later on have consequences. Because if you're going to wear the Sunday slicks on the ice, chances are you'll go down faster than you can get up. Those are choices that really have no long term as far as right or wrong. But it just makes good common sense. See, God made us. We are the only thing of the creation, to my understanding, that have the power of choice. We have the ability to choose between right and wrong this morning. You can say, yeah, but Preacher Marvin, I'm neutral. Makes no difference. I'll just go along with the flow. But still, see, you still made the choice. There's still a choice involved. I invite your attention this morning to Daniel, the 3rd chapter. I would like to read from there this morning. Nebuchadnezzar the king made an image of gold, whose height was 60 cubits, and the breadth thereof 6 cubits. He set it up in the plains of Dura in the province of Babylon. Then Nebuchadnezzar the king sent together to gather together the princes, the governors, and the captains, the judges, the treasurers, the counselors, the sheriffs, and all the rulers of the province, to come to the dedication of the image which Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. Then the princes, the governors, and the captains, the judges, the treasurers, the counselors, the sheriffs, and all the rulers of the provinces were gathered together unto the dedication of the image that Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up, and they stood before the image that Nebuchadnezzar had set up. Then Herod cried aloud, "To you it is commanded, O people, nations, and languages, that at what time you hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, dulcimer, and all kinds of music, you fall down and worship the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar the king has set up. Whoso falleth not down and worships shall the same hour be cast into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. Therefore at that time, when all the people heard the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, and all kinds of music, all the people, the nations, and the languages fell down and worshipped the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. Wherefore at that time certain Chaldeans came near and accused the Jews. They spake and said to the king Nebuchadnezzar, O king, live forever. Thou, O king, hast made a decree that every man that shall hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, and dulcimer, and all kinds of music, shall fall down and worship the golden image. Whoso falleth not down and worshipeth, that he shall be cast into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. There are certain Jews whom thou hast set over the affairs of the provinces of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These men, O king, have not regarded thee. They serve not thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Then Nebuchadnezzar, in his rage and fury, commanded to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Then they brought these men before the king. Nebuchadnezzar spake and said unto them, Is it true, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? Do not ye serve my gods, nor worship the golden image which I have set up. Now, if you be ready, that at what time ye hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, and dulcimer, and all kinds of music, you fall down and worship the image which I have made well. But if you worship not, ye shall be cast the same hour into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. And who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. If it be so, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and we will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Then was Nebuchadnezzar full of fury, and the form of his visage was changed against Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Therefore he spake and commanded that they should heat the furnace, one 7 times more than it was wont to be heated. And he commanded the most mighty men that were in his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, to cast them into the burning fiery furnace. Then these men were bound in their coats, their hosen, and their hats, and their other garments, and were cast in the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Therefore, because the king's commandment was urgent and the furnace exceeding hot, the flame of the fire slew those men that took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down bound into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Then Nebuchadnezzar the king was astonished, rose up in haste, and spake and said unto his counselors, Did we not cast three men bound into the midst of the fire? They answered and said unto the king, True, O king. He answered and said, Lo, I see 4 men loose, walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt, and the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. Then Nebuchadnezzar came near to the mouth of the burning fiery furnace and spake and said, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, ye servants of the Most High God, come forth and come hither. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came forth of the midst of the fire. Princes, governors, and captains, and the king's counselors, being gathered together, saw these men upon whose bodies the fire had no power, nor was an hair of their head singed. Neither were their coats changed, nor the smell of fire had passed on them. Then Nebuchadnezzar spake and said, Blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who has sent his angel and delivered his servants that trusted in him and have changed the king's word and yielded their bodies, that they might not serve nor worship any god except their own God. Therefore I make a decree that every people, nation, and language which speak anything amiss the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be cut in pieces. Their houses shall be made a dunghill, because there is no other God that can deliver after this sort. Then the king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the province of Babylon. As far as I think we'll stop reading there. So here we have 3 Hebrew boys taken captive by Babylon, carried away from their homeland. K- King Nebuchadnezzar made an image 125 feet tall out of gold. And all the people were to bow down and to worship the golden image. And these three young men decided in their heart that they would not do this, that they would serve only the true God. This morning I have 5 points. The choice to serve God determines our worship. The choice to serve God determines our worship. See, when they came and they told those three young men, those men that were looking out to see who was worshiping and not, when they came to Nebuchadnezzar, they said in verse 12, "These men, O king, have not regarded thee." See, those men that were out looking to see who bowed and who didn't, I, in my mind, believe that they already knew before that those three young men would not bow. And so they were easy to pick out. They knew that those three young men in this chapter, their life was dedicated to God. Where and what do I turn to this morning for my security? What makes us feel safe? In Joshua, the 24th chapter, verse 14 and verse 15, Joshua said, "Now therefore fear the Lord and serve Him in sincerity and truth. Put away the strange gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve the Lord. If it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose ye this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served on the other that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." We have the choice this morning. All men are made, we all worship something. There is not one of us here this morning that we do not worship something. Do we worship because we know that our Redeemer lives? Do we worship this morning our risen Savior? When times get tough, when you know that you are up against, so to speak, a brick wall, where do I turn? Where do you turn? Where do you turn this morning for the security that will guide and keep you in that moment? Are we going to be as Joshua, as for me, I will serve the Lord? Are we going to worship that what everybody else is worshiping that we live with? Luke 12, verse 34 says, "For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." See, we like to say that where your treasure is. So what is your treasure this morning? Is it that nice pickup I got? You know, is that what you worship? Do I worship? Well, I'm not sure what all of those things are. It is whatever, wherever your treasure is. See, where your treasure is, there's where your heart is. It's many times we say it backwards. We say where a man's heart is, there you'll see his treasure. Well, let's simplify it. Let's go ahead and say it the way the scripture says it. Where your treasure is, that's where you'll find your heart. Pretty simple. Many times the treasure, the first five rows here, is a whole lot different than on the back half. But we all have treasures this morning. And where our treasure is, that's where our heart is. It's just that simple. Something else we need to remember this morning that God will not share our heart with anything else. Our God is a jealous God this morning. He desires our worship. Point number two, the choice to serve God sets our principles. What do I live for this morning? What is the purpose for it? Did you come this morning? Did you come to Bible school, boys? Because two of my friends are coming. And I haven't seen them in a long time, and I just want to go have a good time. Is that your purpose? Or is it, that might be a side benefit, but is the main goal that you came here for this morning is to establish your feet, to set your feet upon a solid rock that you know where you're at in the direction that you want to go? Numbers 13, when the 12 spies went out and Joshua and Caleb, when they came back, those other 10 men, can you tell me what their names are this morning? No, you can't. I can't either. But we all know Joshua and Caleb's name because they stood up. They understood principle. The other men said, well, those are giants. No, we're just like grasshoppers. By faith, Caleb and Joshua understood that God is able. They understood the principle behind that. The other 10, those giants of the land, they were so big that they, well, they'll kill us. Joshua and Caleb said, well, they're too big, we can't miss them. Whole different perspective. It was a choice of mind. Who was the God that was able to deliver? The same God that delivered, the same God that kept Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in that fire. We will not serve. Be it known unto you, if we are not, we are still going to serve our God. Third point I have, the choice to serve God establishes our goals. Verse 28 says, blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who has set his angel and delivered his servants that trusted in him, hath changed the king's word and yielded their bodies, that they might not serve nor worship any god except their God. Their goal of these three Hebrew men this morning was that they were going to serve God regardless, even if the furnace was seven times hotter than ever was heated before. I can't imagine that. That is very hot. Let me ask you this morning, what makes a good day? What makes a good day? When everything goes just how I want it to. I wake up in the morning without a headache. You know, and the sun is shining, a soft breeze. And as I go through the day, everything just clicks along. But what happens halfway through? And something comes to a grinding halt. Totally unexpected. What are you going to do? Do you see it as something sent by God? Or do you see it as something that was sent just to trip me up? See, in Ruth chapter 1 and verse 16, where Ruth was, Naomi, her mother-in-law, was ready to go back. And she told her two daughter-in-laws, go back to your own people. And Ruth told her mother-in-law, Entreat me not to leave thee, or to return from following after thee. For whither thou goest, I will go. Where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God my God. Ruth's goal in life was, she had seen the difficulties of her mother-in-law. She had also known the difficulties of her own life and the sorrows that she had. But she also understood the very thing, the underlying principle, the goal of serving God. Thy people shall be my people. Thy God shall be my God. Hebrews 12, verse 1. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. Let us run with patience the race that is set before us. We have a choice this morning. We, everyone, have a choice this morning of how we run the race. Let us run with patience. In the Greek, the literal sense of that means to fix our eyes upon Jesus. We must deliberately lift our eyes from all distracting things and focus without looking on anything else. Let us run patiently the race that is set before us. The goal that we have in life this morning, is it a single goal? With our eyes fixed upon our Savior, Jesus, who at all points was tempted as we, yet without sin. It was at the British Umpire Games in 1954 in British Columbia. I think it was in Vancouver, if my memory serves me right. There was a foot race that day. It was a mile race. It had been less than a year before that it was the first time in the history of man that anyone had ever run a race a mile in less than 4 minutes. It was thought before that given time that if you ran faster than that, your body would not be able to do that. It was thought to be literally impossible. That day, at that race, there were two men that in the last year had ran a mile in less than a minute, and they were racing against each other with a crowd of others. I don't know who they were. But John Land and Roger Barst were two men that had conquered the mile in less than 4 minutes. The bell rang and off they were. As I understand, that mile race that day, it was in a quarter mile lap. And so they had to run that lap four times, and that was 1 mile. They each had a plan. They each had a goal. Roger, in his mind, thought that he would run, keep his distance behind John, because John was the first man that had ever done this. And so on the third lap, he was going to relax a little bit to be able to, at the end, to surge forward and to use all of his strength in the last quarter of a mile. But when they got to the last, when they got to the half mile and started on the third lap, John Land, so to say, changed gears and he went faster. So Roger, in his mind, knew that if he was going to keep with him, he had to also do. And so he changed his plan, he changed his strategy, and he put his energy in. He seen him ahead and he was right behind him. They were both putting all their effort into it. When the bell rang, starting the fourth quarter, the last quarter of a mile, they were both side by side. But John had put more energy yet into it, and he went faster still. Roger was right behind him. If you can imagine to see two men putting all their effort into going. The whole crowd was there in an uproar and loud, and they couldn't hardly hear and think. And in that loud and thunderous noise, John could not even hear Roger, which was right behind him. They were each going just as fast as they could. He was less than 30 yards from being finished. And he couldn't hear Roger anymore. So he made that fatal mistake. He slowed just ever so much and looked behind him to see where his competitor was. And Roger at that same given time was right behind him. And he won by 5 yards, 15 feet. After giving all their all, the man had clearly won. He lost his concentration. He looked back and he went past. The same is ours today. What is our goal? Let us not look back. Let us look to Jesus, the finisher, the author and finisher of our faith. The fourth point that I have is the choice to serve God shapes our choice of friends. See, our closest friends influence our lives this morning. You and I are in a wonderful environment in the next 3 weeks. Do it in a godly way to lift and to build each other up. Proverbs says that as iron sharpeneth iron, so the countenance sharpeneth. As iron sharpeneth iron, so doth a friend the countenance of his friend. I'm sorry, I mixed that up. Strictly doing that by memory. But that's in Proverbs 27, verse 17. My actions, my life, has a direct bearing on those that I'm with. Those that I love have a bearing upon me. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 33, be not deceived. God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For Samuel 30, in the account of David and Jonathan. Jonathan was the son of King Saul, who should have been the heir of the next king. But Jonathan understood and knew that David was the one chosen by God. 1 Samuel 20 tells us that Jonathan loved David as his own soul. A beautiful picture of two men dedicated to God, regardless of what came their way. The one who knew by lineage should have been the next king. The one that was, that person understood that David, his friend, was chosen of God. And he did not fight that. Influence has a big part of our life this morning, peer pressure. Peer pressure is not just for you and youth this morning. You don't need to worry about that. Peer pressure is alive even in people my age. We may just have new words for it, but it's still real in my mind. Be a good friend. The last point I have, point five, the choice to serve God determines our destiny. Be not deceived, God is not mocked. I quoted that verse a while ago. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. He that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. I hope we understand as I've went through this morning that choices start right here. Choices start right here at the heart. That choice of my heart comes forth. And that there which comes forth, if I continue to do it, creates a habit. A habit will determine our destiny. I remember well as a young man, we had a neighbor. Art was his name. He always treated me fair and kind. But he was stricken with cancer, and so one day before he went to have his operation, he got in his buggy and he went to see his deacon. Drove into the lane of Levi and told Levi, he said, I just wanted to come and tell you that depends what happens. I may not live too much longer. But he said, I'd like to just to let you know that I still think I'm right. So he went back home. But you know, the sad thing was, as that man lay on his deathbed, the last 3 hours of his life, there was no one that could even stand to be in the room with him because he felt the fire coming out of his fingers. He was a miserable man. He knew his destiny because of the habits and the choices that he had made. I have a brother right now, 4 years older than I. He is at the threshold between life and death. His life span on earth outside of the miracle of God. Is but days. But you know, I was there with my brother Stephen for 3 days this week. The blessing to be able to talk to someone that is facing death, real, you know that your time is very short. And to be able to talk of death, to be able to talk of spiritual things, to be able to talk of the great beyond, and face it with confidence, to know that my Redeemer lives. My brother is made of flesh and blood just as I and you this morning. But the same blood that covers our sin, covers his sin, covers all our sins. And we can live with a lively hope. But if we choose to serve God this morning, we with confidence know our destiny. 2 Peter 1, verse 1 and 10 and 11. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure, for if ye do these things, ye shall never fall. For so at entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly unto the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. May the choices that we make in life be that which we do not have to look back with regret this morning. May the choices we make be that which exalt the Savior. May God be praised.